right. So of those 16 characteristics that you listed, maybe 17 with frugal, mm-hmm. which of those are most critical for a successful entrepreneur, and which of those are most often missing?
Well, those 16 factors that I was talking about are characteristics of the culture. I don't know if you want me to talk about the culture, or do you want me to talk about entrepreneurs? Because I think that about entrepreneurs, the first and most important characteristic is embracing your inner entrepreneur and taking on the identity and feeling proud of it and feeling comfortable in yourself that that's who you are. And if people, as Chuck House, one of my favorite entrepreneurs, said, when I asked about taking risk, he said, look, if this is a company that wants me to innovate and do new things, then they're going to be okay with me taking these risks. And if this is a company that doesn't want that, I already have a terrible job. There's no reason to worry about losing it. and so that saying, this is who I am, and the world is going to have to adapt to me rather than I have to adapt to the world. I will find a place where who I am is then. But that's at the core of it. That then says I can do the purpose thing. I can do the taking the risk. I can do all those other characteristics which we've been talking about, persistence, just trying it and seeing what happens, because that's how I've seen what the pattern is, and now I'm embracing that pattern and doing it. So.
That makes me think of something I was just considering recently when I was talking to a group of entrepreneurs at a large retailer. And they were describing the way that they work and how they find back channels and how they're relatively flat and they get their senior air cover. They establish what their metrics are and determine, you know, what it is they'll be held accountable for. And there was also a little bit of, you want to fire me? Fire me. Mm-hmm. Right? That kind of, so it was a little bit of an attitude that goes with that is, I think, inherent to many entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I was thinking about is, as the same organization is looking at fostering more and more entrepreneurship through systems, through processes, through programs, I was thinking about what happens to that. Because entrepreneurs might appreciate being the ones who are the rebels with a cause. They might appreciate being the ones who leverage back channels, who don't always ask for permission. And now if the organization is saying, yes, we want you to do this, and here are all these systems and processes that will allow you to do it, what happens to that characteristic of, you know, what happens to that clash? Or is it a clash?
Depends on what they do, I guess. There are things that you can do to systematize entrepreneurship, which are incredibly effective. There are things that you can do to block it. Stage gate processes probably block it, but there are other things that work in ways. But it's all about either a formal system of freedom, and I could describe some of those, or it's about actually supporting the sponsors in helping people to get through the system. Because this, every organization has a corporate immune system. It's a necessary function. Ideas are many. Resources are few. You have to kill most of the ideas. You have to kill most of the good ideas, because there just isn't enough time and money to do them all. But you have to, therefore, find the entrepreneurs who are really going somewhere, and then you have to back them with some consistency over time, because there will be dark days when it doesn't look very good, and you have to let them work through that and move ahead. So most systems, any system which involves presenting the idea to a committee, is probably not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Because new ideas are hard to understand. They break the mold. They go against some basic principle that is there. I'll give you a funny example of this. You know, we all know about the idea of having little seed funds that give people money to move ahead. And so, you know, you think of IBM, HP, Hewlett Packard, DuPont, companies like that, that you think are going to have seed funds, right? What about the Orida Potato Company? So the Orida Potato Company gave a entrepreneur who came up with the idea of frozen potato skins. Now, this idea was countercultural to a degree that is hard to imagine. the whole basis of the Ore-Ida Potato Company was that they had a machine which scrubbed the skins off of the potato and left a little white lump, which they then sold to McDonald's or whatever. And their whole idea was that the white stuff was valuable and the skin was junk. And that the technology which distinguished them from their competitors, they were better at scraping off the skin than anybody else. And this guy was going to bake the potatoes and scoop out the potato, which then became a sort of a secondary product, and sell the skins. That little bit of money, that little bit of discretion pushed down in the organization, allowed him to get far enough along that people could really see the value in what he was talking about. And so we need to find many ways to put discretion into the discretionary funds and time into the system. 10% rules are great and so forth. These are terrific things. So there are lots of things you can do to encourage entrepreneurship. Once I hear program, I begin to wonder whether this is going to be a good thing or a bad thing. But, I've seen good programs too. We've trained over 800 entrepreneurial teams and then had some pretty good results. We did a job for a large drug company recently, and they wanted entrepreneuring within a single function. They wanted it within the IT function. Mm-hmm. So the IT function had decided to be more entrepreneurial. Probably a good idea. So we did three courses for them. The first course was a three-hour online course, self-paced, all software, no faculty in it whatsoever, which was given to all 1,100 IT professionals. You can imagine how happy they were to learn that they were going to take this course. But in the end, they gave us a 95% approval rating because I think we were on their side rather than on the side of management. We weren't giving them any bullshit. We were telling them, these are the tricks of the trade. This is how you can navigate around the organizational immune system. I hope your managers aren't watching, kind of. the second course was an incubator, which continued on the process of deal, how you deal with the politics of the organization, but also did the sort of standard thing of, business models and so forth, and ended up at the end of 6 weeks with them presenting to a team of executives who, 12 teams entered that. The teams, incidentally, were selected by being told that they couldn't get into the accelerator unless there were three of them committed to the idea. This tested for two things. First of all, quality of the idea, a really dumb idea, maybe not, but more important, it tested for leadership. Somebody was there who could actually assemble a team and was they were willing to follow that person. So of the 12 teams, six were funded on graduation. Within 1 year, we had a 10-to-1 return on everything the company had invested in, all our fees and all the projects, whether they failed or succeeded. I look at that and I say, okay, we did, not a terribly imaginative program. Maybe we know a little more about entrepreneuring than the average person, so that made our program a little better than the average program. But it was obviously helping them to move ahead. 400 people in the company heard about this and independently managed to take that first course. 30 teams volunteered, having heard about the ones that succeeded. 30 teams volunteered for the next round of the program. So what you see is something going viral. And those kinds of accelerator programs, which we see all over the place, actually create a bubble of protection around the teams for a short period of time. Now, you need to actually continue to protect the teams after they graduate. Otherwise, it's not necessarily a good idea. And we, our third course was just a coaching course. It was really sort of batch process coaching in which we got together the teams and they would raise challenges that they were up against. And either we would find solutions to those challenges, or equally often, other team members would, members of other teams would find solutions. They'd say, "Oh, why don't you go talk to so and so?" That's something that we could never, provide that information as outsiders. But these were we had attracted a bunch of people who are not necessarily doing entrepreneuring for the first time, and so they had a bunch of things which they could add. And that support system after the accelerator, I think, is a missing ingredient in many, many programs which people are driving. Because now comes the hard slogging. Okay, so you've got your approval. Now let's actually make this thing work in the real world. That's where entrepreneuring actually takes place.